Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Doris found her 14-year-old son, Evan, sitting forlornly on top of a pile of packing boxes, his baseball glove in his hand. "What's wrong?" She plunked herself down on the side of his bed.
Nothing.
"Nothing? You don't look so happy to me. Worried about the move?"
"Well,"
he pounded his fist into the mitt,
"it's just that I was hoping to make the team at school. But now that we're moving just before the season starts, well, how can I make the new team? I haven't even been to practice there. I don't know anyone. Jeez."
"Oh, Ev, I'm so sorry. I wish we didn't have to move before the school year is over, but..."
"Yeah, well, don't worry about it, okay? I'm going over to Tim's anyway."
He jumped down from his perch.
"See you later."
From a parent's perspective, how can we best help our children with a family move midway through their school year? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is an expert in this area. Eileen Rogers, a founding member and former board member of the Military Child Education Coalition, works in education and training in human resources at the Office of Personnel Management in Washington, D.C. A military spouse, she has three grown children, and they've had to do a lot of traveling. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Eileen.
Thank you. Very pleased to be here today.
What would you say is a student's biggest worry when changing schools in mid-year?
You know, as parents, we kind of think about the academic part of changing schools, but I think for our kids, a much more important issue for them is friends, the emotional attachments, the social adjustments they will have to make. And so as parents, I think we need to pay close attention to their emotional needs, their social activities, their friends, and how to help them make that transition of leaving friends and things they enjoy behind and moving on to something new and quite different.
So it's not looking at them as a student, it's looking at them as a person.
So much so, I think that's the case. And each child will handle it differently within a family. Some of our kids are adventurous and a move is just one more to them. And then others have formed close connections with the community and with friends. And so it is really a traumatic occasion for them. And so we have to help them through that, regardless of what their emotional connections happen to be at that particular time.
And what kinds of things can we do to help with this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it depends on where a child is, at what age they are, and how we go about doing it. Sometimes with younger kids, we think that they are so resilient, it doesn't mean much to them, and, you know, a move is just another step. And for young kids, we found that the favorite thing we have is a rock story. Taking a rock and having each child leave an impression on the rock. Nothing visible so much, but within the school setting, the teacher did bring in a rock. The kids all went out. They selected it. They were told that the rock was for the departing student, and they were going to take it and leave a portion of themselves in the rock so that when whoever left would have something they could take with them and would always have the reminder of their schoolmates. So those kinds of little activities that we think as grown-ups, you know, silly, to a child means a great deal. And so that those little things, something they can take with them, something that's tangible, they can hold on to. And then for older kids, it's perhaps the idea of setting up continuous communication, that you never really lose a friend, is that the world's small enough and technology is so great, is that you can always remain in touch. I mean, you can view people halfway around the world, and today is not an expensive venture to do that. And so keeping in touch with friends cements that bond, and it makes the transition period a little easier to do. So as parents, we can do little fun kinds of activity things with our children to show that staying connected is not so difficult in today's world. And in the military environment is that you may leave someone today and meet them up again 6 months down the line, you know, because their family's rotated. So it's not the end of the world.
Now, when children move, and they move during a school year, like in the story Sandy read, what should teachers do, especially at the new school? You've given a fabulous example of children saying goodbye and doing it in some tangible way. But when a child arrives at a new school and has to plug into the curriculum as well as the friendships, how can teachers help?
Well, you know, one of the things we do with Military Child Education Coalition is that we do counselor workshops. So we work with counselors and teachers within school systems to work through some of these issues and what they can do as a gaining school to make the transition easier for children. Some of the programs that schools have done, they've done buddy programs. And in advance of children arriving at a new school is to establish a relationship with someone at the new school with common interests, common background, and so that they can help them be a guide to the new child as it comes into the setting, so that there's someone familiar when they reach that new school that can help them through the process, someone to have lunch with the first day, someone to show them where the lockers and the restrooms are, where, you know, the good kids hang out and get the lay of the land. So teachers can help develop a bond between students prior to the move. And there are a lot of activities going on. One of the ones that we've been involved with lately is called a student-to-student, where we work with schools in establishing and formalizing the process of sponsorship so that there is someone there that can really help with a transition, someone, a familiar name, face, so that you're not lost that first day of school wondering what's taboo, what's not right, and where to hang out and not hang out. And so it makes life easier. You're not walking into a dark territory. There's some light at the other end.
Should parents request a meeting with a counselor or something when the child first comes in?
Well, you know, I think the process begins long before you ever arrive at a new school or in a new school district. And so what we advise parents to do is find out all you can beforehand. Do your homework, do your research, so that you know what you're stepping into and what your children potentially are stepping into. And so that is making contact with the gaining school as early as possible. In some cases, it's difficult because where you go to school depends on where you live, and you don't always know that. But if you can find out as much information about the gaining school district as possible, it does help facilitate the transition of children into that setting. And if you're lucky enough to be able to visit, as some military families are, on advance visits, you can visit the school, meet principal, teachers, guidance counselors. Great resource, guidance counselors. Can't make it without them. And so establishing that relationship, I think, is very critical for a successful transition.
What do parents see as a child's greatest challenge? You were mentioning, I guess, two different areas of problems.
Well, I think as parents, we do think of the academics first because, you know, we have plans for our children. We have goals and we have responsibilities to make sure that they're successful. So we think in terms of them getting their academics right. They graduate on time, and with high stakes testing these days, it's critical that our kids are positioned where they can successfully meet the standards for the states. So I think as parents, we're really, really concerned with the academic part. But we also need to be concerned about their emotional and their social needs. We can have the brightest kid in the world, but if they're sad or depressed or lonely, it affects their performance in the academic world also. So I think parents need to be focused on both the academic and our social emotional needs of our kids, and pay equal attention to both.
It's hard now to teach your kid how to make friends. How do parents do that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have our granddaughter staying with us now. And she's in school, special needs. And when she arrived, I just could not get her out to meet other kids in the neighborhood. So what we did was to try to get her involved in activities, find out Girl Scouting, sports activities, church, community activities, and in some cases just drag her over to the neighbor's house who had kids her age or in school with her, and kind of drive, force that relationship a little bit to help her over the hurdle of saying, hi, I'm Tanisha, and who are you? So we kind of did it for as much as we possibly could. And so that greatly helped.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on changing schools in mid-year.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Eileen Rogers of the Military Child Education Coalition about changing schools in mid-year.
Parents need to step forward, be active in getting involved in their new community, getting to know other people. And I think that sets an example for our kids and at the same time opens a door for them to enter also. It takes a lot of work in stepping out and going beyond our own personal comfort zone as parents, because we're all not extroverts either. And so it's work. But I think we all benefit if we make the extra effort, especially for our children. I think attitude is an important key in how well our children adjust. And so as parents, we have to realize that our kids are always watching us. So how we handle the stresses of life sets an example for them much more than anything we say.
Even though a child and his family or her family might have moved a lot of times, doesn't mean it's still going to be easy for that child to make new friends.
No matter how many moves, and you know, we know military families who've moved scores of times in a military career, and even in the civilian workforce, there are quite often moves as we go along career path, but it's never easy. Some children find it easier than others, but you're putting yourself out in meeting someone new. There's always that fear that you might be rejected, that someone may not take your overtures in a friendly manner. And so we all face the possibility of rejection. And for our kids, as they're maturing and growing, that can be kind of traumatic. Even as adults, you make an effort to meet someone, and you smile at them, and you get nothing in return. You know, you feel a little hurt by that. And so our children experience, I think, real pain with rejection. And there's always that risk when you're trying to meet new friends in a new environment. And so we need to be mindful of that, too.
Would you say it's okay for parents to share with a child, look, I feel a little shy right now, too, or I'm a little nervous about having to meet all these new people, so I'm going to have to ask for help, and maybe you and I can do that together?
I think that's excellent. I think honesty in terms of what we're feeling is very important in our kids also to work through their feelings. And there's nothing wrong with being fearful. Nothing wrong with being a little shy or cautious and whatever. You just accept that that's the way you're feeling at the moment. But if you want to make friends, you've got to kind of push through the fear a little bit to do that. And I think if parents express to our children that we've been there or we're there now, I understand what you're going through. But we can do this and we can do it together. And I think that will help our children realize is that there are difficult moments in life. But if we work through them, we can indeed work through them.
Sandy and I are always talking about I messages. If we say how I'm feeling, that helps the child say how he's feeling.
Exactly. I think so. It doesn't leave our children out there by themselves.
Are there certain ages, have you found, where kids are a little bit more vulnerable? You know, you always think of the recalcitrant teenager. I'm not going. I'm just not going. I'll stay with Janie. You guys can move. You know, that kind of business. Are there certain ages that are more dicey than others?
Oh, I think teenagers present special situations, challenges or whatever for parents. When we moved from Europe, I was a civilian. My husband was retired. I left them in Europe because my daughter was in high school. It was mid-year.
Oh, my God.
And so I had to leave them for a while until the semester ended in Germany so that she could come to Texas, where we were at the time, where I was, which was interesting in itself because they'd already started a new semester because they ended their semester in December rather than in January.
Oh, goodness.
And she has not forgiven me, I think, to this day.
We always have to have something to hold over your parents.
Yes, for doing that to her at that time. But I think teenagers, because they're concerned about so many things. You know, they're worried about leaving their friends. They're concerned about not getting on the cheerleading squad or making the football team because those things have impact on their college aspirations, their dreams for the future.
Their social life.
Their social life, certainly so. Will they graduate on time? So I'd have to say as a parent, the teenage years are the most difficult. And I've known many families to make the decision to separate their families, to make that break, so that their children can complete high school in a certain location, so that they can graduate with their friends and still participate in activities that they enjoy.
Actually, I think that's particularly sensitive to make it possible for the child to stay and at least finish out the school year. I know someone who moved just a few years ago from Buffalo to Scottsdale, Arizona, when their oldest daughter was entering her senior year of high school.
Difficult.
And the father moved earlier, the mother stayed. in Buffalo until the child finished her junior year, but then she had to start all over again in a new high school for that 1 year.
It is a difficult time for teenagers. That transition can affect their standing in the class. It can affect recommendations for college. You go into a school, senior year, recommendations, applications for colleges are due early in the year. These teachers don't know you. Counselor doesn't know you. How do you get those recommendations? How do you show your involvement in extracurricular activities that can make the difference of getting in or not into your school of choice? The military services have done something I think has been really, really good, is that for a lot of them, they've given parents the option of leaving their kids in place, especially if they're overseas, is to stay there in government housing if they're rising seniors so that they can complete their senior year with their graduating class. And so mom gets to stay in Europe, or dad, while the military spouse moves on to the next duty station. But that senior gets to graduate without that traumatic experience of starting a new school in their senior year. But those are tough decisions for a family to make.
That's pretty impressive of our military, though.
I think it's very progressive of them, and happy to see them take the steps to realize the value of families.
Shouting and screaming along the way evidently did a really good job of
that.
Yes,
yes. Nothing like the grassroots.
That's right. Who would you say are the best resources for demystifying the specifics of each school? You know, you were talking about these heavy-duty tests that kids have to take. There are lots of prerequisites for different courses, and you can go from school A to school B and find that normally everybody would go into course C, but, you know, the kid coming in hasn't had the prerequisite and all this stuff. Whom should parents turn to for that?
Well, you know, we live in an interesting time. I say turn to the Internet. Schools have their own websites, states, information galore. It's the taking the time to do the research. MSEC has a website that can be a doorway into the states. There are rules around high-stakes testing, rules about age, how old you have to be to start first grade or kindergarten within that state, rules around immunization, graduation requirements. It's all out there. And so if you just sit down at your trusty old computer, hook to the Internet, and begin doing the research of getting the information that you need. Schools may have their own website or school districts. You can tour schools. You can even talk online to counselors and whatever. One of the things that MSEC has done is installed in 84 locations right now what we call an interactive counseling center, where gaining and losing schools can sit down, talk, exchange information on students beforehand, look at curriculum, match up course guides, transfer records, do a lot of the preliminary work that will make the transition to the school so that day one you're off and running. There's no lag, you know, no gap in the educational process. So I would advise, use the Internet, powerful tool. It's an excellent opportunity for parents and children to sit down and work through it together.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on changing schools in mid-year.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Eileen Rogers of the Military Child Education Coalition about changing schools in mid-year.
You were talking about a buddy system for kids. I'm wondering whether parents should get themselves a buddy, maybe the counselor or some teacher in the school or an administrator, to say, hey, listen, I looked all this stuff up, but I have a question because, you see, the course that Janie was taking in blah, blah, is not exactly the same as this and that. Is that a good idea?
I think it's an excellent one. As much of the transition issues that can be worked out beforehand, it just makes the process smoother for our kids and for families. And I found that guidance counselors want to help, and they would appreciate the questions beforehand. It's better for everyone to get a child in the right course from day one than to have to make changes later on, you know, 6 weeks down the line or whatever, or wait for records to come. So if you can get it right from the very beginning by establishing those relationships, everybody benefits from it.
Would you tell us a little bit about what the Military Child Education Coalition is and does?
Certainly. The Military Child Education Coalition is about helping children make the transition between school districts. Everything is for the sake of the child, as our bottom line. And so what we do is we work with school district state authorities in helping to modify, adjust rules that make the transition difficult for all mobile children. Right now, we have a memorandum of understanding with several states where they've agreed to work together to break down those arbitrary rules that make transitioning very difficult. And so they work on a continuous basis with the school district, state level, local district level, to help train counselors in dealing with the social, emotional issues with children, recognizing and bringing to the forefront some of the academic issues that are out there. For example, in the school districts, depending on where you're going, the sequence of math courses, general math, math 1 or whatever, or algebra 1, algebra 2, geometry, trig. And you would think that's the way it was, because that's the way it was when I was in school. But it's not that way everywhere. It can go from algebra 1 to geometry to algebra 2. So if your child comes from one of the old ways of how the curriculum flows, they're out of sync. So we try to get states and districts to realize that those things do exist, that everything is not the same from one state to the other. And so as we live in a very mobile world, is to help school districts and education activities understand that, and in understanding, then to work out ways to make the transition smoother for all mobile children.
This is a group that is only dedicated to military children, so civilians need to sort of take a page from that and get going on their own, is that right?
Well, not strictly military. Our main focus and what drove us were the issues around military children, because they're the mobile force out there. But civilians experience the same issues. I have an employee who just came to me, moved here from Atlanta into Washington. He had to leave his family behind for a while. It was interesting. He was going to leave his family there for the entire year so his kids could finish school. But then after getting here and the family and all, realized that, no, that wasn't for them. And so he brought his kids over in mid-year. And so the same issues that military families face, civilian families face also, because the world and the way school districts are, they don't distinguish that you're military or you're civilian. It's a child who's come to you in the midst of the year. And so how do you make them fit in, get them rolling so that they aren't at a disadvantage because they had to move in mid-year?
It sounds like those who are not military benefit tremendously from what MSEC does.
We would hope so. Right. We would hope that our focus on mobile children will benefit all children who experience moves during their educational career and to help their families also in that process. So I think as we move to shape what the landscape looks like for our kids as they go from school district to school district, that we're helping everyone in that process.
Do you have advice for parents with younger children? We've talked about the teenagers. The younger kids may not exactly understand about moving at all. Are they going to remember the dog? Are they going to remember the teddy bear? Some cases the kids are young enough that they see the moving van and they think, well, if they don't get in the moving van, maybe they'll be forgotten.
Well, yeah, I can see where that would be a problem for our younger children. What we encourage, one of the things we talked about is doing a little scrapbook. Memories for our younger children and allow them to hand carry that scrapbook. Don't put it in a moving van because there is a fear that, oh, it's not going to make it, I'll get lost or whatever. But allow them to take with them in the actual move something that they hold dear and precious, something that they don't want to lose or whatever. Or it may be a tape recording of their friends' voices with farewell messages or something key to them, and let them take that with them so that they feel connected. One of the things is an incident that happened with a young child who says that she didn't find out she was moving until she actually was being placed on the airplane. Oh. Parent didn't tell him. at all that they were moving to a new location. And so don't do that. Is help our kids see it as an adventure, as an opportunity for something glorious, to find out something new about the world and about themselves. And so involve them in the process. Make it a fun thing for them, that they're just as critical to this move as anyone else. And involve them from start to finish, maybe in deciding what goes and what doesn't go, or at the new location, choosing the color of their room. But to help them realize that this is a family event, we're all in this together, and tell good stories. And again, I think attitude, parental attitude is very much important in helping younger children in that adjustment process.
We'd like to leave our listeners with resources. Where can they go for further information? It would be helpful if you'd begin with the MCEC, the MSEC website first.
Website is easy to remember. It's just that good old World Wide Web, www.militarychild.org. Excellent resource. It will open the doors to school districts around the world, other resources that are online, and the services, high-stakes testing, what they are state by state, age requirements for entry, when traditionally school districts will start, access to school calendars and whatever.
This is something that civilian parents should feel comfortable taking advantage of.
By all means. The door is open to every parent of every mobile child that's out there to take advantage of it. One of the other things that we would recommend, that there are countless books about helping children make the adjustment and moving from one place to the other, but they don't always have to be books. Good movies, good stories. The Berenstain Bears, they have series about moving and how kids feel and what things you can do to make the transition or the move better. There are excellent movies out about kids as they work through the issues of moving from one location to the other. And I think another resource that we don't always take advantage of, neighbors and friends who've been through the same thing, how they've dealt with issues as they've come across it during various moves. The doorway these days is certainly what's at our fingertips that we take for granted, I think, is the resources that are out there on the Internet. There's so many excellent tools.
I would think also maybe the children's librarian at a public library.
The school counselors. And on the younger elementary level, I think especially teachers, classroom teachers, are very good in resources for having children come in because they deal with it quite often and putting kids at ease about the new move.
Well, you've certainly put our listeners at ease, I think. We have a whole lot more to take with us now to try to figure out some of the resources that we can use when we try to help our children change schools in mid-year. Mm-hmm. So, Eileen Rogers, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, Second Edition. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. It's much more helpful to us. Mention show number 248 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids, Second Edition, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. We'd like to remind you about some important toll-free numbers for parents and kids. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. You can ask for the Family Advocacy Unit there. The National Runaway Switchboard is 1-800-621-4000. 1-800-621-4000. Our sound engineer is Sanjay Dilawari, and music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.